Let's go.
You're listening to Making Data Simple, where we make the world of data effortless, relevant, and yes, even fun.
Podcast listeners, Al here. Making Data Simple is on the case. We have some topics today we're going to discuss, which is AI, data privacy, and marketing. Nadia is going to teach me about marketing today. I could use some education. I will give you a quick intro, and then as always, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, Nadia. But Nadia Gonzalez is the Chief Marketing Officer at Scibids. It's a leader in artificial intelligence for digital marketing. She's also held roles at Google, AdMeld, Sociomatic, Orchard Platform, and her own marketing services firm where she supported early stage ad tech and fintech businesses globally. Welcome, Nadia. Thank you for being here. I appreciate
it. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
I see. I'm looking at you. I see you're at home.
I'm working from home. Home is Miami Beach.
Oh.
The Atlantic Ocean is right there saying hello. Right
that
outside.
That hurts me. let me look at my watch. It is 32 degrees here. I'm in Kansas City. Beautiful. Yeah.
I was a New Yorker for a long time, and then we were those people that came down here with COVID. So there you go.
And you stayed. Are you going to stay?
The question is up in the air. The question is up in the air, but we're having a good time here for the moment.
Is the question up in the air in terms of whether they bring people back to the office?
No. Well, no. Paris is Scibids is headquartered in Paris, and we have 12 offices worldwide. So we do have a presence in New York City, but we also have a presence in Miami.
Well, that's you. So perfect.
Yeah.
So introduce yourself, if you could. Give us, you know, some of your experience. You know, take us back and then bring us forward in terms of today.
Yeah. So Nadia Gonzalez, CMO of Scibids. I started my ad tech career in about 2007, 2008 with a company called AdMeld. AdMeld was a yield optimizer for premium publishers, ultimately falling into the category of SSP, which stands for sell side platform. In 2011, AdMeld was acquired by Google for a handsome sum of money that paid off my student loans. Thank you, Google. From there, spent some time working at Google within their DoubleClick stack of products. It's no longer called DoubleClick. It is currently called Display and Video 360, but that is their suite of products for online advertisers. If you are a digital publisher or a digital advertiser, it used to be called DoubleClick, and now that platform is called DV360 as it continues to move on and evolve. But after some time at Google, which I was on the publisher side of the what is now DV360, moved on to another ad tech company called Sociomantic. They were a German-based DSP, DSP standing for demand side platform, which is what we'll talk about ad exchanges and how a DSP interacts with an SSP for digital marketing. We'll get into those details. Mm-hmm. That company was acquired by Tesco Dunnhumby in 2014. And then a number of my AdMeld and Google colleagues moved on into the fintech world. One particular individual launched a company called Orchard Platform, who had a similar API setup that the ad exchange has, your SSP for sell side, DSP for buy side connections. So we took that technology into the world of online lending, where you can buy and sell loans, non-bank originated loans in the world of peer-to-peer lending. That was fun. That company got sold in 2018 by a company called Cabbage with a K. They're a small business online lender that is now a part of American Express. And then from there, I started consulting, worked with both ad tech and fintech early stage startups. I met Scibids in my consulting days. And they very kindly, earlier in April of this year, asked me to come on as CMO. So we dated for a little bit, and then we thought it was a good choice, and we sealed the deal. So I've been on board full-time as CMO since April, but started consulting for them in October of 2020. So we've had a nice journey.
Is ENC Squared your consulting
company? ENC Squared is my consulting company. That is correct.
Do you still do that?
I have it. I have a writing partner that consults, does a few projects through it. I maintain a small level of fintech companies that I support, but only ones that I'm invested in. And so they're near and dear to my heart. So I make sure that they get what they need from me. And I have a partner who helps out with that. But yeah, ENC Squared is alive, but at a lower level of capacity now that Scibids has my full and undivided attention.
That was a terrific introduction. So you're going to have to teach me a little bit about where we stand today in marketing and what Scibids does to solve a lot of the problems. So to that point,
yeah,
I know data privacy, huge issue right now. But marketing requires you, at least in my mind, requires you to know your customer. So I guess let's start with how marketing is done today. I mean, let's educate those that are out there because I certainly need it. How data privacy comes into it.
Yeah.
What folks are thinking, and then we'll talk about some of the solutions, if you would.
I mean, starting with the beginning of the internet, right? We won't go back to that, but online advertising.
You're getting the
time. how you see ads online, and I'll go through the big and complicated systems that are online advertising. Ad tech, as we in the biz like to call it. But I'll say this much, digital marketing is more important than ever. And at the same time, it's more complicated than ever. So I'll give you the brief history on ad tech here. And we can quickly get into like where Scibids comes in and where AI for digital marketing comes into play. Really quickly, how do you buy and sell ads online? Why are you seeing the ads that you see on your desktop, that you see on your mobile, that you see on your tablet? Well, there's a lot of technology behind why an ad is being served to you and you in particular. And then you as a consumer, there are publishers online that are hosting the ads, the websites that you go to that have the display ads, video ads, with streaming television, right? Ads in connected TV. And we saw that Netflix is going to have an ad supported revenue model instead of subscription only. And we'll get into that. But just quickly, how do you see an ad? Why do you see a particular ad online in any sort of digital channel? Well, there is an advertiser or a buyer that is looking to place that ad in front of your eyeballs, right? And so when they're going through a retailer, a brand, an advertiser is going through their campaigns, like they usually hire an agency that supports them with this. And, they organize and run campaigns throughout the year, depending on what that brand specific outcomes, right? What they're looking to sell to you online, right? But how do you end up seeing that ad? Well, first of all, you're online. So you're on the web, you're on the internet. And depending on what device you're on, you're usually seeing ads that are being served to you. Well, there's a whole complicated system of technology that hosts those ads, right? So if you're a publisher, if you're the New York Times, you're certainly making money off of those ads. But what's the reasoning and the technology for why you're actually getting a particular ad, right? So within that, what's the business of it? You're typically working with an advertising exchange, very similar to a stock exchange. You've got your buyers, you've got your sellers, and then everything happens in some kind of auction format, or what we say real time, on a real time basis for why an ad is being bought and sold. Over the years, at the beginning of my career, that concept of real time bidding, buying and selling an ad in real time, did not exist. It was more of a sort of static connection of ad networks, right? Ad networks that were serving ads to different publishers, different inventory. And so if you were an advertiser, you'd have to go to your agency or to these ad networks and say, I'm willing to spend this much and this is who I want to target, right? Men, 18 to 35 years old in this demographic, as much information as you can give them to say, like, this is where I want my ad to go. And at this point in time, like, we're at a slightly more sophisticated level of advertising because in the early days of online advertising, it's just ads anywhere. They may not have been relevant to you in any which way. You're just seeing ads and they're being scattered across the internet, hoping, and those advertisers and brands are hoping that like they're hitting the right people just by putting the ads out there. Well, as ad tech grew up and as the internet got smarter and all of the technologists behind it got smarter, they were looking at ways to better target advertising. And so that's where you start to get into the early days of data, What does it mean? How can I use it to target, to make sure that my ads are ending up in the right place? So there's a term in ad tech where we say spray and pray, right? Just you put as many ads as you can across the internet. You don't care about annoying consumers and you're just hoping that the right people see them. And that's sort of like the early wild, wild west of advertising. But as ads became more targeted, buyers became more sophisticated in who they wanted to target, and publishers wanted to be able to raise their prices to have advertising on their website by being able to tell the advertisers, this is who is on my site, this is what you can buy. Very similar to like the TV upfronts, right? Like when you see a television segment at a certain time, there's demographics tied to that, right? Down to like the zip code of, I mean, if it's a big national show, like down to the zip code of what you can do within a particular, you're doing regional buys, right? So you take that same intelligence into how you're buying and selling online. And so the level of sophistication and intelligence behind the technology starts to get a little bit more targeted, right? And so there's a few phases of advertising online. And like, I would say like circa 2010 to like about 2014, it was like the game of anything goes, more data, more retargeting being seeing that same ad following you across websites, like to buy the pair of shoes. And it's like, why is this ad following me? How does it know that I'm here now? And how does it know that I'm there? A lot of that is the cookie-based technology that basically gives the internet memory. It gives it memory. It gives it an ID to say that this user and this action has taken place. And you can find that user across the internet. And that's essentially what the cookie is, which, as we now know, in ad tech, we say that the cookie apocalypse is coming with Google setting to deprecate the third-party cookie in 2024. That year was supposed to be this year, and it keeps getting moved out because they're working on what that replacement technology is. We'll get more to that in a minute and why we need the cookie. At this point in time, every user coming to any website, being targeted, hyper-targeted, and the amount of data that you can find on someone is, it's unlimited. It's infinite, right? And behind the scenes, there are third-party data brokers that are buying and selling all kinds of data to advertisers, to different lists, like here's who you can find, you know, this is their email, and just creating more and more ways of triangulation for how you can find and target someone that might be in your user set. And I mentioned this is about up until about 2014, because with the evolution of online advertising and the buying and selling of ads and the real-time auctions, right? Instead of going from like static ad networks that are saying, fill this number of ads to this many people until we run out of inventory or advertising dollars. Now, when Google bought AdMeld in 2011 to build out their ad exchange, Google was the sell side platform to their DSP, which was Invite Media. So now they have their own ad exchange. And what happens then with a technology called real-time bidding, you can bid for a user in real time. So a publisher can send a bid request out and say, I have this user with this particular data set, with this demographic, enough information to say male, female, you know, age range, all kinds of information. If you advertiser want to send your ad to this user right now, say it's like a car for someone 18 to 35, and it's a specific, you know, truck that men want to buy, like the advertiser says, this person needs to see my truck ad because they match everything that I'm looking for. And so within milliseconds, a real-time bid pops up from the publisher, highest bidder wins, or one penny above the second lowest asking price, so a second place auction. And that is how an ad is bought and sold. But there's so much data and so much targeting behind that to make sure that the most relevant ad is in front of the most relevant user at any point in time. Well, given the technology that we all know, like, is able to track people across the internet, follow them across the internet, as people started to spend more time on their phones and on their tablets, more screens, more data, consumers started to get pretty tired of that. And they started to get smarter about what this data is that people are buying and selling, you know, and having auctions on behind me. Like, the consumer got more sophisticated to what's happening from a technological perspective online, because we're all spending our time online. And then that's when GDPR came around, the Global Data Privacy Regulation Act that came out of Europe. It started around 2014, and then the regulation started to be enacted in 2016. And that's when they said, the buying and selling of my data and having it used in this way without my explicit consent is no longer okay, right? And so for years, consumers, anyone online had no idea that their data, their actions online, like what their behavior online was actually able to be monetized and sold without any clue or any knowledge of it. Great for the advertising world and for the publishing world, but consumers said that they had enough. And then you see, you know, governments saying that this is no longer okay and developing a regulation to deal with how someone's privacy is dealt with online, which brings us to, you know, how we're dealing with privacy today. I'll make one note. 2016 is when Scibids was founded. They are headquartered in Paris. And so this company, whose co-founders are PhDs in machine learning and AI, and one of the co-founders, Remy Lemonnier, wrote his PhD on media buying, on where, you know, Scibids steps into the arena to say there's a better way to respect consumers and to do so in a way that's privacy friendly for the future of the internet. I like to think of it as purpose-built technology to work within the framework of how consumers are saying, this is how I want to be treated online, this is acceptable behavior, and this is not.
I presume GDPR was kind of the inception of Scibids, right? I feel like, though, in some sense, there's little that has changed. I mean, I get the point that something may change, and right. I know that Google is looking at the replacement of cookies, et cetera. But like when I'm traveling in Europe, you know, the main thing that has changed is every time I go online, it asks me whether I'm going to give up all my cookie information.
And you have to consent.
I have to consent. That's the point. It's like, well, I want to go online. I could say no. They're just making me aware that all my stuff is being taken.
That's right. they are making the consumer better informed, which was not the case until GDPR came along. And I'll be honest, I hate the cookie consent. I'm like, I just want to get online. Like, yes, take all my cookies, because if you say no, then you have to choose and make all these decisions before you go online on what you want to do with your cookies. And like, who wants that, right? Like, I just want to get online and do what I'm here to do. Yeah.
I get it. Well, I welcome the replacement of cookies, but I, you know, every time I hear that, I think something's going to come that's worse that I'm not going to like. So, but here's what I do know. The FTC announced that they're going to crack down on data security. So the quote unquote, the rampant consumer behavior of targeting techniques are almost over. Do you believe that? Is it coming really?
Well, so Google has, again, right, pushed the deadline to deprecate third-party cookies. So what does that mean when we're talking about third-party cookies, and how does it affect the web experience? I don't think you're going to see a lot change until the cookie is fully deprecated. The cookie, the original use case for the cookie was essentially to give the internet a memory specific to you and your experience online. And it was meant for shopping. It was really a shopping cart function, but to give the internet a memory specific to you and your buying habits to make your online shopping easier. Well, the use of that has changed, and all of the technologists behind it have found ways to, and you know, and this has to do with digital marketing, to say, okay, well, if we can track this behavior and what this person was buying, and we can add additional cookies or pixels to every single page to track what this user does across all of the internet, and have, you know, IDs like, you know, your code 12345, and each like cookie is a piece of memory that, depending on the ad network, the advertising exchange, the, you know, what happens when a bid is an advertising, you know, bid is made. I've got this user here with this behavior here. Do you want to buy them because it fits what you want for your ad? And that's how you get a lot of the cross-site tracking, retargeting to happen, the way that you get followed. And that's exactly what people don't want. People don't want to be tracked online, and they don't want their data, their actions sold behind their backs. if you're on Safari and a few other, you know, like on your iPhone and you're in the App Store, they have deprecated that cookie technology today, but they're not the largest browser on online, right? So that's essentially what the deprecation of third-party cookies would be. This user tracking and user profiling will go away. And what does that mean for online advertising? It's less data for which to make decisions of. I'll bring in, like, how does AI come into play and how does Scibids come into play specifically? AI is purpose-built, but for Scibids, within the world of digital advertising, they created AI that doesn't require user tracking or profiling. It doesn't require the PII, the personal identifiable information, to do the kind of targeting that's much cleaner and much more respectful of that data, or not requiring that third-party PII-based tracking data. And so to kind of bring it back to like what AI can do, so you remove all of the signal, right? AI likes signal. The more signal to make sense of, the better, not less. So in a world with a lot of data, that is wonderful for the AI. The AI learns off of each of the interactions that are happening online that can help target ads. But in this world where the third-party cookie is gone and you can no longer target using user tracking or user profiling, you're left with a lot less data. But I think the future of online advertising is really based on how do you respect consumer privacy with purpose-built, the well-built technology. And so the AI that Scibids creates helps make sense of the usable data that remains out there, the contextual signals that are on a website, the log level data that is within a demand side platform, a DSP. How do you take what is available today that is privacy friendly? So while cookies remain, the AI doesn't need that to make targeting decisions that are more effective than any other optimization technology alone.
The pessimist in me, Google probably pushed it back because they're making a hell of a lot of money off cookies and they're thinking, what, you know, we don't have a good replacement yet. I got to believe they're not motivated to get rid of the cookie. And I can see the reasoning behind it. You lose a lot of the personal connections, whether we like it or not, which I don't.
Yeah.
But we lose a lot of the personal connection and in between sites, et cetera, that makes it much more relevant for targeted marketing. So what do you have left then in terms of that data corpus to work with and leverage the AI with?
So the AI has first party data. So anything that has been, you know, collected between the advertiser and the consumer. So first party data becomes gold. But what the AI can pick up on, which is why when an advertiser chooses to put Scibids AI, their customizable algorithms that are powered by AI into their bid function, basically take over the media buying function of a DSP. They're looking at contextual signals, right? The context of everything on a page, the URL, everything that is not user specific. Contextual signals come back again. There was a big, and early in ad tech, contextual data, what you can tell from the context of a page, the semantics of a page, was really, really popular up until like the heyday of data, when behavioral data was what they were selling behind your back, your actual behavior on a page. And that's what we're saying no to, right? So contextual data, contextual signals, and log level data, right? The details of a DSP, what they maintain in their log level data, and every DSP, which is required for programmatic media buying, it's the infrastructure, it's the platform that buys. So advertisers, agencies have seats within DSPs if they're spending money programmatically. In digital marketing, it's the mechanism that buys the ad after they receive a signal from the sell side platform. You're left with what happens over the course of how an ad is bought and sold, right? And it's basically contextual signals and log level data along with first party data. But what the AI is able to do at scale is take all of that, standardize it, and compute in ways it's faster than any humans can, right? So what you want to do now as an advertiser is take all of your first party data that you can get your hands on. And a lot of it is business data, right? Point of sale data, inventory data, retail data, you know, your shelf inventory data, if you're a big retailer. How do you take all of that and use that to make sense of how am I reaching my shoppers in the most privacy friendly way possible? And the other component that's really popular now is you've got to plan your media buys, then you execute your media buys, and then you have to measure your media buys. Well, what actually happened with this money that I put in this digital programmatic channel? So you have a lot of measurement companies out there that are looking at things like attention metrics. When this ad was shown, there's ways to calculate attention that the person on the other side of the screen may have given that ad, right? Placement, time on screen. There's all sorts of data inputs for measurement on viewability, attention metrics. These are really, really great reports to have to tell you how you spent your money and like what you saw on your conversions. But being able to take that data and feed it back into the buying mechanism, you need AI for that. The more data that you are actually able to put into the buying system, clean, privacy-friendly data, the better the AI is going to be able to buy on your behalf.
What is the first party data though? I mean, because the reason I ask this, if I go search for a Ford Raptor, you mentioned men like trucks. Hey, women like trucks too, I presume.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Men like trucks. I do like trucks. I have a truck. And if I go search it right now, then I'm going to get another advertisement that comes on with floor mats. Oh, you know, all kinds of things that are related. I mean, it knows exactly what I'm doing instantaneously. Yeah. And I don't like
that's
it.
That's the third party cookie. It's.
But if
it's
you get rid of that, well, I mean, you get rid of that, even though I hated that they just tracked me, but yeah. I'm like, damn, if they didn't get it right. So, I mean, I presume that we're going to give that up, which is, look, again, okay with me, but I'd imagine the advertisers don't want to give that up.
Yeah. So there's other ways of being able to deliver that kind of customization that doesn't personally track you, right? So if you get rid of that third party, the cookie that's profiling you and tracking you in a way that people said we're not comfortable with anymore, but you still want a personalized experience, right? There are other methods that are not tracking and profiling you that help you get that customization on the web. And that is through contextual signals that and first party data that an advertiser would have, right? But without knowing like your personal data, if you are through contextual signals on a page, doing whatever it is that you're doing, the URL that you're on, the segment that you're on, there are ways of being able to identify signal. It's full funnel signals that the consumer is putting out there. So the way we like to call it is it's a full funnel learning capability, right? Like what happens at the start of a journey versus like right before you're about to convert. There's enough signal without having to buy your personal data and track it and profile it and profit off of it. You know, there's enough signal out there to make sense of it in a way where you specifically and your specific actions are not exposed to personally identifiable information. And so when you're using AI and machine learning that has purposely cut out the third-party data signals and works with what's left at scale, that is what's creating the sort of experience that you can have on the web, but without your personal data ever being compromised or tracked or profiled. And so for now, when you have to consent on all of those cookies, yes, they're tracking you through that, but you've consented. It's annoying and you probably don't even read what you consented to. But imagine a world where like that doesn't need to happen because your personal information is just not being tracked anymore.
I think it's great. I long for that world. I'm still having a hard time making the connection of getting to the maybe we won't have the intimacy that we have today, which is perhaps a good thing.
Yeah.
but I'm trying to make that connection. I get the context reference, and you're right. AI works better, obviously, just and this is any AI, the more data that it has.
If you're in what we in the industry call a walled garden, it's totally different. If you are inside of Facebook has more data on you, Meta, they have more data on you than you know. And because you're inside the walls of Meta, when you sign up for Meta, you give consent to everything, but you're in their world. So the hyper-targeting, the details that they know about you, cross-platform, I don't know what they do with Instagram, but that is a walled platform, a walled garden, sorry. When you're in the
and,
world.
And that will continue to exist even in the new world?
Because it's their own platform, right? It's not the world wide web. You are within Amazon. You are within Facebook. You are within a walled garden where all of the data is free and open for that particular walled garden to use. There's a reason why, Meta, well, they've had an earnings hit, but they've certainly are making the money that they have made because, like, they know everything about you. And within their closed environment, they can do anything with that data. If you're on a standard URL that's not, Instagram, Facebook, Amazon, right? It's entirely different. So within those worlds of the walled gardens, when you're in their world, you will continue to experience being advertised and tracked and spoken to in a particular way. And it's good to make that distinction of the walled gardens where I'm just going to use Facebook as the example. If you're advertising within Facebook, they take all of your data and they like your customer acquisitions, like what has actually happened in terms of conversions on your products. They don't share that back with you. If you are an advertiser that is in the world wide web on an open URL and you're advertising, there are systems that then give you your data and attribution information, and this is what's happened. There are systems that can track all of that and give you your measurement back, right? You don't get that in the world of the walled gardens where a lot of data is being exploited, right? So it's good to make that distinction at this point.
Bottom line, we're at the rise of AI and digital marketing, and that driving the future of data privacy in marketing. So I got to believe there's a lot of companies doing this. What does Scibids do differently?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really think it's the sophistication of the AI that the team, all of our data scientists and engineering happens in Paris. And I really think it's the sophistication of how they built that AI to be privacy friendly in the first place, right? How to supercharge. It's kind of like, if you think of your ad stack, it's like the engine of a car or your truck, right? Like it's going to run well with gasoline and you're going to get what you want out of your car. But when you pour premium gasoline into the tank, when you pour like sophisticated purpose-built AI into your media buying function, it's going to buy more effectively. So what advertisers will see is they'll hit their KPIs more effectively and efficiently. So like they will hit their KPIs with less media spend. Look at the macroeconomic environment that you're in. All advertising budgets are shrinking. So if you're a media buyer, you want to make sure that like you're using AI to guide your media buying so that dollar stretches as much as it can, right? And that you're only buying the things or having the ad placements done that are actually going to make an impact to your bottom line, which, conversions are revenue for digital retailers, right? So that's what I think RAI does differently. Our data scientists are absolutely the best, and they're all in Paris, which makes them very cool. But the education of how the AI learns, and the fact that it's dynamic, they've built it to continually learn on itself. And so it's this living, breathing thing that gets smarter as advertisers buy more. And that insight, that data, that AI belongs only to that advertiser and that advertiser alone, right? It's their treasure trove of learnings for them to use and to have a competitive advantage on, and is never shared with anyone else. So I think the model and the sophistication, we've had the most time in market than any other custom algorithm provider, customizable algorithm.
Look, I've managed the development of an AI organization before. And one thing I know is naturally AI will always have some form of bias. And I can't help but sit here and thinking, how do we not end up in the same position we found ourselves in? It's just different.
The updating of the scripts that get pushed to the DSP that changes the buying methodologies, it can be changed. So if you start to see any sort of bias or it's not performing to the outcome or the KPI that you want to see, or the multi-KPI outcomes, which would have to be weighted, then obviously you need human intervention. And I think that's where our teams are really the best. They're very honed into how is the AI behaving and is it doing what you need it to do? And how do we train it and intervene when you need to, right? So it's that high tech, high touch service that really makes you, allows a media buyer to make the most amount of sense of the usable data today. There's a lot of data today that we don't want people using, and it's, you know, still out there and, you know, free to use, but we're certainly pushing the CMOs and the brands that we talk to get off of the dirty fuel that is PII based, right? Start buying the way, just pretend cookies are already deprecated, respect your consumers the way they should be respected, and start changing your media practices now. And you're going to need AI to do that because of like the restrictions and constraints that are in place, right? You have to do the most with what you have and make sense of it quickly. And you need sophisticated AI for that.
Look, one thing I would advise is like a third-party agnostic tool that kind of opens up that AI with transparency to make sure that the decisions are equitable and fair. And you can see that beyond even human intervention. But what about the name? Why the name? Well, we didn't talk about that.
Bidding. Scibids, it's scientific bidding. You get all those data scientists in there and like, they're going to take over the bid function of your DSP. It's scientific bidding. It says what it does. It does what it says.
So at the end of the day, does it come back to that bidding platform? I mean, is that what you're promoting? Kind of like what you were talking earlier?
So the bidding platforms that are out there are called the DSPs, the most advanced and most mature DSPs, which are the infrastructure to buy programmatic media. Yeah. The most advanced DSPs have opened up the bid function, right? So DSPs have native optimization and like they can buy media for you on their own. That's what they were built for. But as the world has become more complicated, more sophisticated with the volumes of data, the restrictions on data, constraints on how media buyers want to buy, media buyers want to bring their own intelligence to the buying methodology. So the most advanced demand side platforms have opened up that function. And so if you want to take over the bidder, you're going to need a team of data science and machine learning specialists to take over that function. And so for the most advanced brands worldwide that want to bring their own data to the table, particularly now that first party data is so valuable and that now that measurement data with the right AI can be made actionable in media buying, we are that technology, that AI that you bring to put into the bid function, right? We override the media buying function of a DSP. So that buying infrastructure is there, but if the DSP has opened up their bidder to a media buying specialist that can make sense of so much data and make the media buys more effective and tailored to how a particular brand or media buyer wants to buy, then you bring your AI to the table, and we're one of those AI providers, right? Or you do it yourself, but like brands are focused on selling whatever it is that they're selling, right? We know some brands that have their own data science capabilities and want to slice and dice their data their own way, but they still need help of an AI provider to put that data into the buying methodology, build the scripts in real time, dynamic optimization of what's happening in the media buys. And you need AI to make the most of all of the data that you can get your hands on and make it actionable in the right way within the DSP buying framework. So that's where you find Scibids.
So Nadia, where can you and Scibids be reached?
Where's the best place to can find me on LinkedIn, Nadia Gonzalez, Scibids. Yeah. And I'm also on Twitter, Nadia_Gonzalez, and that's Gonzalez with two Z's.
Two Z's. What about Scibids? Scibids.com?
Scibids.com, and then on Twitter at Scibids, on LinkedIn Scibids, you'll find us.
What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? Well, you know, I live on the beach. I go for long walks.
Is the beach really right out your window right there?
It is.
Man, that's terrible. I don't know how you sit in all day. I'd be walking along the beach.
If the camera wasn't on
calls.
My monitor, I would show you. If you were on my laptop, I would just show it. But like, I'm using the camera on my monitor, so I can't pick up the whole. Yeah, but there's the Atlantic. It's right there.
Jealous. Long so what do you do for fun? Long watch on the beach. Any books on your bookshelf you'd share with us? Any good
this
ones?
Is oh, the she's best got one right here. Book in the world, Machiavelli for Women. It's written by Stacey Vanek Smith. She's one of the reporters on Planet Money and like NPR. Yes. She covers all of the economics. And she wrote this really awesome book, which takes the principles of Machiavelli's The Prince, and then mm-hmm. modern day dispenses the advice from the prince to women in the workforce.
Is it only for women or can I read it?
Oh, I think everyone in the world should read it because it actually, speaking about human bias, speaking about bias, what it really does is it talks about human bias in the workplace. So what, you know, any kind of like, whether it's discrimination or just workplace behavior, like if you're a man and you do this, that is seen as like a leadership quality. If you're a woman and you do this, it's seen as a negative quality. So basically in the book, in Machiavelli's book, the Prince, he dispenses advice, right, to the Medici family who has taken over Florence. And he was like a senator of Florence. And so he gets jailed and he wants his job back so much that he writes the prince, which is, here's how I would advise you as the new prince if you'd let me come out of jail. And here's how a new prince should act versus a conquering prince versus like an existing prince, like that comes from like a monarchy. So if you're a new prince overtaking a city, this is how I would advise you, because you're not, you know, you don't come from this long like monarchy that just owns the city, right? And so women are kind of like the conquering prince of the workforce. We weren't always there. So she takes that advice and makes it modern day to women. And many people think of like Machiavelli as like this awful, you know, evil stab you in the back, like how to get revenge. But it's really dispensed quite intelligently and eloquently, so that it's like, here's how you do it today as a nice person in the workforce. And so it's good to like, even if you're a man reading the book, it's like, oh, I did not know that I might have this implicit bias, or that, you know, this happens in the workplace. So I think every dad should read it. Every man should read it. But it's a fun read to see how the information is dispensed in a really intelligent modern way. So even if you like are not a woman in the workplace and you're a man, like taking that information and being like thoughtful about how to approach a situation, it's a pretty cool thing to do with the prince, right? So
I have three girls. So cool. I think you may have just gave me a Christmas present gift right there.
This is a great book. Give it to all of your daughters and your wife, and then you guys can read it all together.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. I greatly appreciate it. Learned a lot about marketing today. People can reach out to you. We'll include it on the show notes.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Podcast listeners, hit us on lmartintalksdata@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Until next time, we'll see you on the podcast. Thank you. Talk to you next time.